The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Loss in our lives takes on many different forms and can be more than just a physical loss. It goes beyond that to include emotional loss, business loss, and loss of personal health. This is Voices for Healing with Kathy Roberts. Today, Kathy and her guests will help you find out that you are not alone in dealing with loss and grief. There are so many different ways to deal with loss. What works for some may not work for others. Together, let's find the solution that you can use. Here's your host, Kathy Roberts.
Welcome to Voices for Healing, a radio show dedicated to healing loss with Kathy Roberts. I am Kathy, and my guest today is Jane Baxter. In recent years, research has proven what we intuitively know to be true. Exercise helps to heal depression. Most people suffering from depression know this as well. Yet knowing and doing are two different dynamics. In her book, Manage Your Depression Through Exercise, Dr. Jane Baxter offers the missing link between knowing and doing, motivation and accountability. Jane Baxter, PhD, is a psychotherapist and certified physical trainer who developed an innovative approach to improving patients' physical and mental health simultaneously. Dr. Baxter received her PhD and MSW in clinical social work from the University of Maryland. A specialist in mood disorders, binge eating, and other addictions, Dr. Baxter has proven that patients can train their brains the same way they strengthen and train their bodies. Her psychotherapy sessions unite physical workouts and instruction with traditional talk therapy in a unique treatment process she calls PsychFit. Dr. Baxter is based in Washington, D.C. Jane, welcome to Voices for Healing Talk Radio.
Hi, Kathy. It's so great to be on.
I'm really glad you're on. As you know, we've talked a little bit before, I was really motivated to have you on the show because exercise is such a regular and important part of my life, and I know that that's something we share and you really value that.
Definitely.
And your work, yeah, and your work combining psychotherapy and exercise really intrigues me. What led you to create PsychFit, this healing method that integrates talk therapy and exercise?
It started when I was getting my master's in the early 1990s, and we were taught a lot about theory and practice, but exercise was never mentioned in assisting with the treatment of mood disorders, and it always struck me as odd, and I've been an exerciser my whole life, and it's so important for our mood. So after I graduated, I became certified as a personal trainer. Not to become a personal trainer, but to figure out some way of incorporating exercise into treatment. And so it took, 10 years of percolating to actually do more research and really think through what could be a program that could work within the session, where the person could come in and be able to talk, but also be in their bodies in a powerful way going through certain exercises.
Yeah, you have a wonderful story in your book, I believe, about, or perhaps it's on Amazon in your bio there, about an aha experience on the playground with a couple of other mothers. I love that story. I wonder if you might share that with us.
I would love to share it. Yes, my friends Nikki and Mo are personal trainers, and we had children at the same elementary school, and after school the kids would play in the playground, and we would talk, and they would say, Jane, we have people who come in, and they're crying on the treadmill, and we're really not sure what to do. And I said, that's funny, because I thought about combining the two, since, when people are moving, they can get into their feelings a little bit more. And they said, oh, my gosh, you have to do it. So that really, it did give me the spark to say, okay, I think I need to put this in motion.
I love those moments of synchronicity like that, where something you're thinking and something that you run into in your life come together and create something new. And it sounds like that's part of what happened there. I think that's exciting. I love that story. I wanted our listeners to hear that as well. Maybe we could start at the beginning. I know that a number of the people listening are experiencing some kind of loss and some depression. And I wonder if in your book, I know you do a really nice job of talking about depression and some of the causes and how it comes about. And that might be a good starting point for our discussion before we get into the real nitty-gritty of what you do.
Sure. Well, depression, nobody knows exactly. You know, we have what research tells us, which is there's some interference with neurotransmitters, namely serotonin, norepinephrine, and dopamine. But there's also researchers who are looking at what's called a metabolic syndrome, where it can be associated with our metabolism and our thyroid gland. And there's other theories that, you know, each of our cells has peptic acid receptors. I mean, there's a lot of technicality, but the view is that there's some ways that we're reacting to the environment, and then that in turn reacts to our neurochemistry and our biology, and it creates, you know, a kind of incorrect program. And so people's moods plummet, their motivation plummets, and loss is certainly, you know, a huge factor in this. We all experience losses in different ways, you know, and how to manage that then becomes the next phase in life, I think.
Yeah, so what you're describing is that typically for depression there are multiple causes. We're not clear on what they are, but more than one thing can contribute to depressed state. And a important part of it is what's happening in our bodies, in our physical chemistry of our bodies as well. Yeah, I like that because you so address that in the psych fit. Was there something else you wanted to add?
Well, I think that loss is, you know, it's tricky because the initial phases of loss can feel so devastating. And, you know, I think I prescribe exercise, but often people are just completely, you know, shredded or really blown away, and it's hard to then exercise. So, you know, setting your goals appropriately, you know, so you're not being hard on yourself if you're not able to do it, you know, in the initial phases is really important.
Yeah, I like what you're saying there, that if you're really in the midst or at the beginning of a real significant loss, deciding that you're going to go out and hike 6 miles if it's not something you've done before probably isn't realistic, huh?
Right. I think people can feel nauseous and like kicked in the stomach or really weak, almost like you have the flu. And it's really hard to do what even you may have been doing before in terms of exercise, but certainly going for walks and doing some reflection that way is great.
Yeah. Exercise is such an important part of all kinds of healing. So, you cite a number of studies in your book linking exercise to a reduction and even sometimes healing of depression. And I think that's another helpful place for us to start as we understand what the causes of depression are and why we're having this conversation about the importance of exercise in healing depression.
Excuse me. There have been some current studies in the last 5 years that have been pretty phenomenal. I know Duke had one group that took, I think, Zoloft and did some talk therapy. Another group did exercise and I think some talk therapy. And then there was a control group. And it turns out that the exercise group actually did better over the long haul. And then there's an earlier study. This is one of the largest longitudinal studies. They tracked over 8,000 people for 26 years, surveying them, you know, in 1974 and then in 1983. And the people who became inactive for those first 9 years of the study were 1.5 times more likely to have depression than their active counterparts. So it just, you know, there's twin studies. There's any study actually shows that it works. I haven't read one where it says, you know, oh, no, exercise doesn't help. So,
yeah, I think I know from my personal experience that exercise helps with that. It's good to hear the Duke study. Could you repeat again the that was a large study, and so I'd like for it to stick in me and the listeners a little bit more, how many people and what the incidence of depression was for those who dropped out of the exercise?
Sure. Well, the Duke study actually was a separate one. That was one of the more recent ones that really hit the paper, the New York Times and whatnot. The one that I'm referencing, it was a landmark research project from the Human Population Laboratory in Berkeley, California.
Okay.
The Alameda County Study. Excuse me. And they tracked over 8,000 people for 26 years, looking at different lifestyle habits, beginning in 1965. So when they checked back in 1974 and in 1983, you know, the people who showed no signs of depression, who then became inactive, were 1.5 times more likely to have depression by 1983. So, you know, it's pretty profound.
It is profound. One of the words, as you read through it a second time, so I'm glad that you did, was the lifestyle habits that you mentioned.
Exactly.
And I thought that might be something to touch on briefly. I think of times when I arrive at a parking lot and it's full, and there's a part of me that wants to get a space really, really close to the door to the mall, you know, so I'm close. And there's another part that thinks, oh yeah, but if I park in a space that's farther away, I'll get to walk a little more to and from the mall. Could you maybe talk a bit about some of the lifestyle habits that we can develop and weave into our regular life activities?
Definitely, because you know, it's great to carve out an exercise pattern where, I mean, in my book, I recommend a type of workout once a week where you're doing, you know, you're exercising your core muscles and doing compound exercises. And then the other 5 days you want to do some form of cardio. But it doesn't have to be, okay, 45 minutes at the gym. You can do walking from, you know, the corner of the parking lot throughout the mall or doing the stairs. But, you know, there's so many ways of continuing to fold it in. And it's just a change in mindset. You know, it's sort of waking up. For people who struggle with getting started, I'll say, you know, put your warm-up stuff next to your bed so you kind of trip over it. And, you know, you have to think about it. Like, okay, how hard is it going to be for me to just do 10 minutes, you know, do a couple walks around the block? So it is just how we schedule it in, and it becomes more instinctive, more intuitive as we feel better about it.
Yes, yes. And I giggled when you said you put things by the bed so you trip over them or something. Sometimes my weights have been by the bed and my yoga mat is not far from the bed so that
That's
these
great.
Things are visible regularly. For
That's great. And, you know, good sleep hygiene is important. That's definitely a component where if you're not getting enough sleep, of course you're going to be kind of cranky and your brain's not going to work as well as it needs to. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Sleep is important. And from what I read in the literature, a lot of people really struggle with that now and have difficulties with that. And one of the things I found, and you may have found this too, is that when I'm able to exercise a couple hours before going to bed, I often sleep better.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's sort of, you get to check that box, and then when your head hits the pillow, you feel a sense of accomplishment and like you can close out the day. And your body also is saying, okay, I'm ready to take a break.
Yeah, yeah. And as we continue on here, I'm looking forward to getting into a little bit more about how that works out and how the body and mind really, really are connected and really do work together. And exercise is one of those ways that we get to see that happening. So Let's see. There are some things I want to get back with you about. We are coming up on a break relatively soon, though. So I think what I would like to do is to go ahead and take our break now and then continue on with some of our further discussion about this.
Okay,
so
great.
We will take a break and come right back. You're listening to Voices for Healing Talk Radio.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Kathy Roberts is not only an exceptional radio host, she's an exceptional listener and counselor. Kathy appeals to motivated, high-functioning people to help them improve their health and vitality. Kathy can meet you where you are and help you identify what you want. Visit Kathy's website at www.kathyroberts.net or call her at 301-651-0019. Kathy works with both individuals and couples and specializes in grief and depression counseling. Get to know yourself by working with Kathy. Visit KathyRoberts.net or call 301-651-0019. Kathy Roberts offers Circle of Voices teleclasses to help you focus your mind, engage your energy, and awaken your inner guide. Through this experiential and interactive series, you will know yourself more and learn to express yourself authentically in your personal life. Visit Kathy's website at KathyRoberts.net to find out about this teleclass series, designed to open you to change and engage healing in the fabric of your life. Go to KathyRoberts.net or call Kathy at 301-651-0019 for more information.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to Voices for Healing with your host, Kathy Roberts. If you have a question or comment for the program, please send an email to Kathy at KathyRoberts.net. That's Kathy at KathyRoberts.net. Now back to Voices for Healing.
This is Voices for Healing Talk Radio, and I am Kathy Roberts. My guest is Jane Baxter, the author of Manage Your Depression Through Exercise. Jane, on our break, we were just discussing how physical exercise contributes to emotional release, and most of us experience this in our lives. You know about how this happens and what happens in our brains and bodies that occurs for us. Maybe you could tell us about that.
Absolutely. I find this one of the most interesting and hopeful parts of this. When we place a demand on our body, our muscles sense the need for more fuel, and other chemicals show up to help assist in this process. So there's all this juice that's going on that affects our brain. So one of the things that first starts is our muscles pump. It's called it's a chemical that passes the blood-brain barrier. So when our muscles contract, it goes up to the brain, and it's called brain-derived neurotrophic factor. And basically, this is like miracle growth fertilizer for the brain. It helps kind of grow neurons, and it helps them function better together. So, you know, depression kind of shuts our brain down, and exercise provides this juice that wakes it back up. And there's also another chemical called tryptophan, and this is necessary for the production of serotonin. And this also, this activity then changes the distribution of norepinephrine and dopamine, and these things are all important in getting our mood elevated. So it's really exciting stuff. The other thing that exercise does is it helps with the little blood capillaries in our brain. One of the other chemicals is called VEGF, which is vascular endothelial growth factor. Another one.
Big words, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, there's all these cool things, but
yeah,
this wasn't really known, you know, even well, when did it first, I guess in the last 10 years, but it didn't, it science, it takes some time to then get into the classrooms, you know, so in terms of our training as practitioners, it's so great to know that there's really something important happening. And as we exercise and we pay attention to our patterns of exercise, our neurons wire together to support those patterns. And that's how the rewiring happens. So we're moving away from the network that is the depression and, oh, I don't feel good about myself and, oh, I didn't do this and, oh, I feel guilty about that, shifting into, yeah, I went out and I did walk those 10 minutes, you know, and starting off, it can be just that gradual. So it's really fascinating.
So even small amounts of exercise, a 10, 15 minute walk, can begin that rewiring process.
Yeah, it's, I would say that the initial conditioning helps more with a sense of competency and higher self-esteem, which then provides more exercise. And the more intensely you can do it, the more brain change will happen. So, you know, think about our, you know, the cavemen, let's say. I mean, they had to use their bodies all the time to survive. And in this day and age, we're really only using about 17% of our body's capacity. So we can do a lot more of intense exercise, and our bodies can support that.
You, as you talk about the release that can come, I think about sometimes myself, I go out and decide I'll walk for a little while and end up walking twice as far as I thought, because once I got going, it felt so good. And I think of joggers who talk of a runner's high, or those physical therapist women you knew in the playground who find that their clients are suddenly crying. And so what's going on and in those kind of situations, do you think?
You know, one of the theories, which I referred to earlier, the peptic acid receptors in our cells, it's thought that memories and experiences can get lodged at the cellular level. And, you know, I don't want to go into too much detail about that because it's pretty technical, but it makes sense that if that's really what's happening and then we're exercising and there's all this juice going on, that our cells are releasing things. Doesn't it feel like that? I mean, it's more powerful.
It sure does.
Than just in your brain. You know, you're feeling it all over. You're feeling alive. And even if you're feeling sore the next day, it's a good sore. You know, like you got rid of some stuff. So
yes. Yeah, and I think on a more general level, we do hold experiences in our bodies. We think of somebody slams the door behind us and we, you know, we kind of jump and tense up. And that can be held in there until we say, oh, yeah, that was just somebody slamming the door, and we kind of shake it off and relax. And so what you're saying is something about exercise on a really deep level can release even older experiences and held emotions.
Sure. And one of the things I talk about in the book is exercising with intention, so that, you know, you actually think about what is bothering me, you know, what is weighing on me, what is upsetting me before you start your exercise. And that way you can sort of literally work it out. And an important piece is, in addition to having that intention, that you then change the dialogue in your head. So depression has this habitual dialogue of, you know, the greatest hits of self-defeating thoughts, you know. And so how do you then create a different dialogue of, well, actually, look at all I am doing. You know, look at what I am doing given what's happening or what has happened in the past. And it's a whole different it's a whole different way of, I think, getting the most bang for your buck out of exercising.
And I like that. I'm glad you reminded me of that piece about exercising with intention. We hear so much about intention and live our lives in a lot of ways with intention, but your point in the book and the one you just made about when we can exercise with the intention of meeting some kind of emotional need within us or our need for a particular emotional release is something that was new to me. I hadn't really heard of that before. And I really I really like that. I know sometimes when I myself have been exercising, emotion does come up just naturally. I really love your inviting people to set the intention to do that. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, in the same way, neurologically, by working through that stuff, you're taking apart that neurological network that was sort of locked into that old stuff, and then bringing in the positive dialogue then creates a different network that you want to keep building on.
Yeah.
And your neurons wire together to support that. I can't emphasize that enough, because we can't see that happening. You know, if we work out, we get to see the muscle tone or some of the weight loss. But in our brains, there's a lot going on. And I think if we had it on a screen, you know, before and after, we would even get more excited.
Yeah.
See it.
Maybe that's a future app for a phone.
That's a great one.
We could create.
We should do that.
Yeah. Yeah, the other piece I think about what you're saying is that's so important is how oppressive the thinking of depression can get.
Yeah.
And when you partner this intention of walking and release with mm-hmm. the kind of good, allowing new self-esteem producing thoughts to come in and say, hey, yeah, I did that. I didn't really feel like it at the moment, but I got up and I went and walked 15 minutes and you know, I feel good about that. You're really beginning to cut through some of those blocks that depression creates that tell us we can't or we don't think we can. And I really like that partnering that you're suggesting.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we all have stress throughout the day, which then can contribute to depression, especially the bad stress, because that releases the negative stress hormone cortisol, which creates those locks that you talked about.
Yeah.
But the exercise then helps with what's called flow, you know, where, okay, adrenaline, endorphins, dopamine, all these things counter the cortisol and create a better type of pressure to help us move through it.
That's such a wonderful image to think of all those good chemicals in our body being released and washing away some of that cortisol or the other tension-producing things, because we do live with daily tension. And the thought that we can be in charge, you know, we can do things that can create that positive flow through our systems.
Yeah. And another thing that I think is interesting is our brains are truly wired towards health. You know, there's like 100 billion connections in our brain. It's amazing to think of. We have this whole universe inside our heads. And so when we're putting our behaviors in sync with health, it then flips back, you know, creates that feedback loop to then support our brain, because everything does flow from there. So sometimes, you know, feelings follow action. I say that a lot to the people I work with. You're not going to feel like it. You know, it's just that's the deal with depression. But when you can push through and really gather your confidence and value this in an important way and do the exercise, it your feelings will follow. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think when people actually take those steps and do that, they find that to be true.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking, though, that some people say they want to exercise and mm-hmm. they don't have time, or some people will tell me, I know I should go to the gym. I know I should do this or that. And they sometimes don't do it. And I wonder mm-hmm. what kind of things do you use to help yeah. people do that?
Yeah, it's so common. It is truly common and normal. You know, because there is a part of exercise, if you're doing it intensely, where you're maybe feeling some things that don't necessarily feel good if you're doing, you know, strength training and whatnot. But how I talk to people about it is they'll say, you know, even professional athletes complain about having to go to the gym. You know, it's so universal in some ways. I know a lot of people who generally like it and they don't have any ambivalence around it, but actually, you know, the former is more true. And so, you know, by helping people understand that that's normal, but you know, you still want to push yourself through because the end game is so rewarding, you know, that you have to have the short-term and long-term plan. You know, that short-term, well, you've heard the short-term pain, long-term gain. It's really true, you know,
yeah.
And whatever helps to get the momentum going, whatever that takes. Some people use Fitbits now or these little tracking things. Others, you know, will have a contract with their friend, you know, like, let's do this and let's be accountable to each other. There's a lot of great ways to get out there and do it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hold your next thought. In her book, Jane writes, one of your goals in this program is to keep your eye on today. If you start thinking about how you're going to mess up in the future, you've left the moment. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet? Why not? Just go to facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for the keywords World Talk Radio. Once you're a part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the World Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our timeline. Just go to facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for World Talk Radio.
Kathy Roberts offers Circle of Voices teleclasses to help you focus your mind, engage your energy, and awaken your inner guide. Through this experiential and interactive series, you will know yourself more and learn to express yourself authentically in your personal life. Visit Kathy's website at kathyroberts.net to find out about this teleclass series designed to open you to change and engage healing in the fabric of your life. Go to kathyroberts.net or call Kathy at 301-651-0019 for more information. Kathy Roberts is not only an exceptional radio host, she's an exceptional listener and counselor. Kathy appeals to motivated, high-functioning people to help them improve their health and vitality. Kathy can meet you where you are and help you identify what you want. Visit Kathy's website at www.kathyroberts.net or call her at 301-651-0019. Kathy works with both individuals and couples and specializes in grief and depression counseling. Get to know yourself by working with Kathy. Visit kathyroberts.net or call 301-651-0019.
What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
You are listening to Voices for Healing with your host, Kathy Roberts. If you have a question or comment for the program, please send an email to Kathy at kathyroberts.net. That's Kathy at kathyroberts.net. Now, back to Voices for Healing.
Welcome back. This is Kathy Roberts, and my guest today is Jane Baxter, the creator of PsychFit, a unique healing program blending psychotherapy and exercise. In our last segment, I asked Jane a question about what she does to help people who want to exercise, but either have some resistance to it or whatnot, really help them get through that. And part of what she said that I really liked and wanted to come back to was how even professional athletes sometimes feel like they don't want to exercise. And that's part of a normal exercise program, and yet also we're called to push through that when it happens. And I wanted to highlight that, Jane, because I love that you said that and normalized that, how everyday people who are listening to the show who haven't just
Absolutely.
Come through the Olympics might be feeling just the same as professional athletes.
It's true. It's true. And I think if you can build that in, you know, that you're going to feel ambivalent and that's normal. And then as it rises, you know, as you're deciding, do I pack my gym bag? Do I, you know, put on my, my walking shoes? That as it comes up, you say, oh, there it is. There's my ambivalence. What a shocker. Okay, let me just keep going. You know, that you just push through it and try and stay motivated. And the motivation piece is so critical because, you know, again, there's been a lot of research on what keeps people motivated. The best study I've shown, they broke it down into three components, which is our values, our confidence, and our circumstances. And if all of those three things are in a really good place, then our motivation's good, and we typically will successfully do whatever it is, in this case, exercise. And I know most people do value it, but they might not feel confident, especially with depression. I mean, that really can wipe out your confidence. So building that up by setting small goals and creating your circumstances where it's easier to execute the exercise program, you know, that really goes a long way to help keep the motivation going.
Yeah. And then you begin to get that self-reinforcement that you were talking about as the good stuff begins to flow inside.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I want to hear more and share with our listeners the program that you've developed called Psych Fit. I think it's a unique kind of program, and want everybody to know what that is like and what it might be like for, say, a client who signed on to combine the counseling or psychotherapy and fitness.
So when I was thinking it through, I actually had a bunch of my friends come. I had I purchased a treadmill and a weightlifting system and balance balls and dumbbells, and I had my friends come and do mock sessions, and that was really helpful because I got to see, you know, is this workout routine too much? I want them to be able to talk. I want them in their bodies. And so I wound up with what I do today, which is when somebody comes in, we'll do about an 8-minute warm-up. I have an elliptical now because some people can't have impact at all. Uh-huh. And we're talking as if we were sitting and talking. So they'll start with their week or, you know, they'll pick up on what we were talking about in the last session. And once we're done with that 8-minute warm-up, we're on the balance balls, which are these big, like, big rubber beach balls, but they're big. And, you know, you kind of put them in the middle of your back and do abdominal crunches. Uh-huh. And so we do, you know, 30 straight up, 30 side to side. And, you know, sometimes there's breaks where we're just going to talk, especially in the beginning. If you haven't exercised in a while, the conditioning part can be pretty hard. Mm-hmm. So once we're finished with that, there's exercise on the mat, which is doing reverse abdominal work, which is working the lower, you know, the muscles that kind of connect the pelvic bones. And then I finished that segment with what's called a compound exercise, where you're moving both legs and arms to two parts of the body. And this one is doing a lunge with the dumbbells in your hands, where you're sort of pulling them down like well, it's hard to visualize, but you have them straight up in the air and you're pulling down your arms as you're going into a forward lunge, which is similar to like a kneeling position.
Okay.
And that goes back and forth for alternating 15 times. And then they're back on the elliptical for another 8 minutes or so. And then we finish up with dumbbell work, which is doing some bicep and tricep exercises. And the final one is a side lunge using a medicine ball, where you're kind of lunging to the side and then standing up, lifting the medicine ball over your head and coming back down again. And then that alternates 15 times. So it's a neat workout. And, you know, people really like it. They feel like at the end that they definitely were in their bodies and, you know, got a lot of those major muscle groups moving, but they're not like in sweating horribly, you know, so they can go back to work and that kind of thing.
Uh-huh. Do they need special clothes to bring, or are they wearing their street or work clothes for the session?
I ask them to just wear, you know, flexible clothing, like what you might wear to yoga or the gym. It's pretty easy.
Is a basic level of fitness required? Do you modify it to pretty much meet people where they are?
It
sounded like a lot of good stuff going on. I was thinking, man, could I do that?
Well, absolutely. Because often people will come in and they are in a shutdown mode. Depression, as I said, it infiltrates everything, and so they may have let themselves go in a lot of areas, exercise, eating, and the negative self-talk. So I absolutely start where they're at. Sometimes, you know, we'll only do 10 sit-ups, I have different weight sizes for the dumbbells, so we'll start light because the conditioning is important. You definitely don't want to have an injury, you know, then such a shock. So.
Yeah. In your book, you talk about a five-week program.
Right.
What might people expect to have happen in those 5 weeks for them if they're really, really pretty committed?
Yep. So in the book, I actually have the routine that I do in my office, and there's pictures that go through that. And so that, you know, you're asked to do that once a week, and then there's a chart which helps you kind of manage your time and your exercises. But then you're asked to pick 5 other days to do some form of cardio. And again, you want to start out where you are at so that it becomes successful each week. So you set an attainable goal, and it might be, walking 5 days a week, or you might want to vary it, walking, biking. Some people are, really love swimming. So it's really finding what you like and doing that. And I think also yoga is a great workout. It can be cardio producing. So doing that, whatever keeps your motivation up, that it seems like that would be fun for you to do. So at the end of the 5 weeks, basically the changes that you're making are increasing the intensity. And you can also increase the time, but again, our bodies are used to, they need a type of pressure and intensity. So by the end of the 5 weeks, you should definitely be feeling stronger. I also talk about eating habits. I do work with binge eating disorder. So, how to clip and get out of that really negative loop is important for some people. Eating is for people with depression. That can be a real trigger. It seems to solve the problem in the moment, but it doesn't in the long term. So, by the end of 5 weeks, it's exciting for people, to see their own progress.
Yeah, I know sometimes when people do start exercising, they tell me how strong they begin to feel and how good they feel because they can really feel the difference in their bodies. And that doesn't really have anything to do with weight loss even. It's all about feeling stronger and healthier.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah, in the book you also do talk some about diet and food, and I'm wondering what kind of recommendations you make for people who are beginning to exercise. Do they need to eat differently, eat more protein or less sugar, or what can people do to help themselves out around that?
Yeah, definitely. As you are becoming more conditioned and able to do exercises bearing more weight, your muscles, the soreness that you feel, it's actually little tears in the muscle fibers that then, in their repairing those tears, that's how your muscles become stronger and more cut or tone. And so you definitely need the proper nutrition to help with that repair work, which then leads to strength. So protein at every meal is really important. I help people with looking at, well, what are you eating right now and how can you get other forms of protein in? For some people, they just do not like eggs, for example, and so for breakfast, they'll have oatmeal. And that's good, but there's not a lot of protein in that. So having that with a Greek yogurt or adding a scoop of protein powder into the, oatmeal, there's a bunch of ways. But having protein at each meal is important because that's the best for that and the complex carbs, so grains and legumes and things like that provide a form of glucose that your muscles really need to repair. And your brain needs glucose, so it's a winner.
Yeah. So ways that we, a lot of what we're talking about is things that
we hear to do, and we pretty much know to do. We know exercise is good for us, and balanced diet, including protein, is good for us, and all that kind of thing. But often we just don't do it, kind of a collective we don't do it. So really what you're talking about is really taking charge of your life, what you eat, what you put in your body, what your output is in the way of energy, and how that can really improve your mood and help you feel better.
Exactly.
Jane, hold your thought as we need to take another break. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Okay.
Save on your prescriptions with the RX Savings Plus Drug Discount Card, offered by Voice America. It is not insurance, and discounts are only available from participating pharmacies. But 9 out of 10 pharmacies participate nationwide. Start saving today. Print your free card online at voiceamerica.rxsavingsplus.com or text the word TALKRADIO to 96362.
Kathy Roberts is not only an exceptional radio host, she's an exceptional listener and counselor. Kathy appeals to motivated, high-functioning people to help them improve their health and vitality. Kathy can meet you where you are and help you identify what you want. Visit Kathy's website at www.kathyroberts.net or call her at 301-651-0019. Kathy works with both individuals and couples and specializes in grief and depression counseling. Get to know yourself by working with Kathy. Visit kathyroberts.net. Or call 301-651-0019. Kathy Roberts offers Circle of Voices teleclasses to help you focus your mind, engage your energy, and awaken your inner guide. Through this experiential and interactive series, you will know yourself more and learn to express yourself authentically in your personal life. Visit Kathy's website at kathyroberts.net to find out about this teleclass series designed to open you to change and engage healing in the fabric of your life. Go to kathyroberts.net or call Kathy at 301-651-0019 for more information.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
You are listening to Voices for Healing with your host, Kathy Roberts. If you have a question or comment for the program, please send an email to Kathy at KathyRoberts.net. That's Kathy at KathyRoberts.net. Now back to Voices for Healing.
Welcome back. This is Kathy Roberts. This is the final segment of our inaugural show, Voices for Healing. I hope you'll visit my website at kathyroberts.net to learn how I can be there for you as you find your way through the losses of your life. You can friend me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and join the Voices for Healing online community. My guest today is Jane Baxter. We are discussing her book, Manage Your Depression Through Exercise. Jane's book is a lifesaver, not just for those with depression. People who feel stuck or want to start or follow through on an exercise program will find motivation and support to get started and keep moving. In the final segment of our program, Jane and I are going to discuss how stress, loneliness, and anger can sabotage your exercise program and lead to relapse if you aren't mindful. Jane, you've already talked some about stress. Can you perhaps talk about loneliness and anger and how each one can impact us and what to watch for?
Definitely. Loneliness is, it can be a very painful feeling where you, you know, experience a type of emptiness or solitude. And typically, depression can lead to loneliness where you're not keeping up with your social relationships. But the interesting thing about loneliness is it's very adaptive in terms of our survival because it creates a yearning. You know, it does create it's like hunger. You know, it's a warning to do something, to pull out of that place. So loneliness, it's important to recognize it as one of the outcomes of depression, but that it creates a type of push. And the best way to actually get out of that is to help build your self-esteem, calling your friends again, joining a walking club. Again, exercise really helps with this a lot. So, you know, I think it's important to have that as an awareness, you know, that when you're lonely, you're feeling lonely, it's time to do something. Anger.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just a quick comment about that. Many years ago, I was a stay-at-home mother, and sometimes I would have times of loneliness, and I would notice that when I began talking a lot to the clerk at Safeway or Giant, I needed to get out and do something else. That was one of my clues. So I offer that up so that our listeners can begin to look at, oh, well, you know, what do I do that is indication to me that I'm a little isolated and need to do something different.
Yeah, that's a great example.
Yeah, you started to talk about anger as well.
Yeah, anger is another, I think, adaptive feeling if we use it correctly. And it's important to recognize it as a cue. And it means either something is happening that we don't like, or something is not happening that we need to have happen, or maybe we feel someone doesn't care about us or respect us. So it's really a cue, and often depression creates a kind of suppression of anger where people don't like feeling that feeling. And yet if you notice that you're clenching your jaw or laughing when you're talking about hardship or being sarcastic or the reckless driving. I mean, there's so many kind of symptoms of anger. If you're noticing that, then it's time to speak up. And you have to first have the conversation with yourself where you're kind of owning it. Like, okay, I don't like this, so how am I going to talk about it with this other person where it hopefully will go well, you know, and that's a critical piece is slowing it down to think it through, you know, how am I going to take care of myself?
What I've heard you mention in both this discussion of loneliness and anger is we're required to have a certain degree of self-awareness to know that we're experiencing these things. And I think sometimes we can get busy or not pay attention and act on some of these things and not even quite know it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anything we can do to build awareness, particularly for anger, because I think women, and I don't know what our listening audience is right now since we're so new, but a lot may be women. I think women aren't always aware of anger. Sometimes anxiety seems to flow more strongly when women are angry and they're not as in touch with it.
That is a great point. And then the anxiety makes you feel like there's something wrong with you instead of, oh, there's something I need to do.
Yes.
So, you know, I go through this pretty thoroughly. I have a checklist of, you know, to help make it more conscious, you know, of the things that could cause anger so that you then are in touch with it. I think that awareness piece is so important, Kathy.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like that you brought it up as well. And we have a few minutes left, and in this time, you talk a little bit about spirituality and nature in your book. You just touch into it, and I thought maybe we could tap into it just a tad here on the show as we come up to our close as well.
Sure. You know, I believe there is a positive energy. Some people call that God. Others have other names for it. But there is a positive energy that can be found, especially in nature. And so, you know, when you're feeling depressed and you're staying in too much, just going out and connecting to everything you see, and finding a great trail, for example. You get to connect to what is this planet? Where am I and who am I on this planet? I also recommend different types of meditation that before you go on your walk or connect with nature, to think about some positive thoughts that might apply to you for that day.
Yes, and I like you're bringing up meditation as we were just talking about building awareness of what we might be experiencing, whether it's stress or loneliness or anger. I think meditation or some kind of focusing the mind activity is really crucial
for our becoming more aware of what we're thinking, what we're feeling, what we're wanting, what we're doing. And so I think all of that is very important in general. So is there anything, Jane, that we haven't yet touched on that you would want to share with our listeners?
I guess the final thing is that depression can make us either be too strongly in the past, or, you know, the anxiety is a component of depression where we're worried about the future and feeling awful about either one of those places, and that it's so important to just simply stay in the here and now, that it's good to have goals, but today is the day. This moment is the moment, and how you catch yourself, you know, if you're, feeling negative, how do I flip that, you know, and really getting through your day in a very mindful way, I think, is so important, especially for this particular mood disorder.
Yes. Yes. So, Jane, how would people be able to reach you in just about 20 seconds, if you could share how people can reach you if they would like to?
Oh, thanks, Kathy. Well, the book is on Amazon, and I have a website with both my name, Jane Baxter, PhD, and then psychfitinc.com. And my phone number is 202-744-4381.
Thank you, Jane. Jane's office is located in Washington, D.C., and I thank you for being with us, Jane. If you'd like to hold on a little bit,
you can. Okay, thanks, Kathy. I had a lot of fun. I enjoyed talking to you.
Great. I'm so glad you were here for the inaugural show.
Okay.
And this is Kathy Roberts. This is our first show. I thank you all for being with us during this time. I will be here each Monday morning at 11 o'clock Eastern Time. Next week, if you would like to tune in, you will hear Stephen Fox. He is a psychotherapist out in Phoenix, and he will be talking about Dreams, A Guide to the Soul. That's next Monday morning at 11 Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, with Dr. Stephen Fox and The Second Show. I'm so delighted you all were here with me this morning, and look forward to interacting with all of you online, and feel free to contact me, Kathy@KathyRoberts.net. And we will be ending our show shortly and coming back next Monday morning.
Thank you for listening to Voices for Healing. Please join Kathy Roberts again next Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We wish you the best recovery from your loss, and we'll talk again next week.